Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. On Monday, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi declared victory over the Islamic State in the city of Mosul. The Battle of Mosul lasted almost 9 months, left large areas in ruins, killed thousands of civilians and displaced almost a million others. 3 years ago, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi declared the establishment of ISIS caliphate in the city of 2 million. Al-Baghdadi, with a small number of fighters, was said to have defeated a garrison army of 60,000. Today, al-Baghdadi is thought to be either dead or on the run to Syria, where ISIS isn't doing much better. On the line, we have James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies in Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I want to begin with a comment in The Economist magazine. It says that in anticipation of the liberation of Mosul, it asserted that what is truly alarming is that no one knows what will happen after the defeat of the Islamic State in Mosul. Do you think that The Economist is correct in being alarmist? And what is it that you think the Iraqi government must and can do to secure this victory?
I do think The Economist is correct. This is the beginning of multiple problems. First of all, there is not a really good record in Iraq of reconstruction of cities that have been destroyed or badly damaged in the fighting over the years. Part of that is that there are large commitments by donors to give money, but moving from commitments to actually physically paying the money into a fund for reconstruction has been below 50%. You also have the issue of corruption within Iraq, which is widespread. And finally, both in the case of Syria and Iraq, the question is whether these nation states, as we knew them prior to the multiple wars that have been fought, are really going to return. I think you're going to see multiple tensions, ethnic, sectarian, social, economic, and what the outcome ultimately of that is going to be and what kind of state configuration we're going to get remains to be seen.
There's a lot of talk, of course, of ISIL in the city of Mosul for the last 3 years and human rights abuses. But in the battle to retake Mosul, human rights organizations have been concerned about war crimes committed then, and also now suggestions, warnings, given that in taking back Mosul, that the Iraqi government also be concerned about human rights. I mean, are we looking at possibly the continuance of brutalization of the population now with the return of the Iraqi government governing the city?
I think there's little doubt that this has been a very brutal war. Investigations will bear out ultimately whether or not war crimes have been committed. I think there's little doubt that the Islamic State has committed crimes. And I would not be surprised if that were true on the part of the forces that were fighting the Islamic State. The government in Iraq is certainly going to try and reach out to the Sunni population. It realizes that unless it is able to make an inclusive offering in which all communities in Iraq feel that they are part of the state, there is no chance of Iraq surviving. But even if they do make an inclusive offering, there's a major question. Keep in mind that the Kurds have long-standing aspirations for independence. They have scheduled a referendum on independence for this forthcoming September. Now, we've had referendums before in Kurdistan in favor of independence, and the Kurds have, for geopolitical reasons, decided not to move on that. But nonetheless, you also have major battles over cities like Kirkuk, a city whose economy is based on oil, that has a population of Kurds, Arabs, Turkmens, and others who don't want to be part of a Kurdish state should it emerge. So I think what you're going to get is multiple competing aspirations, and how this all works out in part is going to depend on how the Iraqi government conducts reconciliation within the country, how reconstruction progresses, and so forth.
What do we learn during this 3 years of IS rule about its state-building aspirations, its organizational structure, as well as its leadership?
I think the problem is that we haven't learned much. With other words, extremist movements like the Islamic State can certainly, when they create a geographical or territorial basis, can be defeated on the ground. That does not mean that the group is defeated. It does not mean that the reasons why a group like that was able to attract huge numbers of people from multiple target audiences, if you wish, all of those issues have not been addressed, and there's really very little indication that they are going to be addressed.
According to a report by the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point, ISIS, having lost other cities, continued with its tactics of urban terror and bombings. Do you think Mosul will suffer the same fate?
I think that not only Mosul, but we've seen that look over the last 2-3 years. We've seen attacks, whether they were actually organized by the Islamic State itself or inspired by the Islamic State, across the globe. And there's no reason to believe that that will not continue.
And lastly, James, if I can ask you about the repercussions of Southeast Asia and warnings of returning militants or a shift in the theater of war. And I'm thinking notably of the current siege of Marawi City in the Philippines. Despite declarations by the Philippine armies that it was going to end it, it hasn't yet ended. Do you think that this bright spot, as it were, over Mosul now might turn into dark clouds for Southeast Asia?
I think there are three aspects. One, obviously, concern about returning fighters is a concern. However, we don't know what those fighters, when they return to their home countries, what their ambitions are. Don't forget that by criminalizing foreign fighters, you've actually cut off a road for them. So they may come back with intentions to continue the jihad. They may not. The second issue is that, again, concern for returning fighters is a serious concern, but it does not address the question of why they went to fight in the first place. And that's where the real problem starts. And the third issue is certainly in the case of Marawi in the southern Philippines, there is a major question whether this was an operation planned by the Islamic State itself, or whether or not this was something that was very local, attracted fighters, and the Islamic State was a good brand to adopt.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.